This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And every one is that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Often people come and they ask, or they complain of a single issue, that they feel a distance between them and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they don't feel close enough to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, I don't feel that connection. I don't feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can I do to create a connection between me and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah Azza wa Jal, throughout the Qur'an and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to the topic of qurb, of closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah consistently links it with the concept of dua, of calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, of turning to Allah and calling to Allah. And a man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, قَالَ أَقَرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَادِي أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَاجِي. He said, is our Lord close, far away from us, that we should call upon Him loudly? Or is He close to us that we should call upon Him softly? And the Prophet ﷺ did not respond to the man's question, remained silent, even though the question on the face of it is quite easy to answer. But the response came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse was revealed to say, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, if my servants ask you concerning me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then indeed I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I respond to the call of the one who calls upon me when he calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, then let them respond to me and let them obey me that they may be led towards guidance. Now, this verse is incredibly powerful and beautiful. First of all, the Prophet ﷺ did not respond to the man's question. And Qur'an was revealed to directly respond to his question, to tell us how important this question and this answer actually is. That this is something critical, that the response needs to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to emphasize to us the power of both the question and the answer. And the question is about what? The closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting about this verse in particular is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, if they ask my, if my servants ask you about me. Then Allah transitions to immediately respond to us directly. So He's talking to the Prophet, when my servants ask you, who's you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He's speaking about the Prophet, when they ask you about me, then all of a sudden the verse transitions and Allah is no longer speaking to the Prophet, rather He's speaking to all of us directly. And this is in contrast to nearly every other verse in the Qur'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَوَاقِيتِ فَقُلْ. If they ask you about, you know, the time, tell them this. If they ask you about this, then tell them this. If they ask you about this, tell them that. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلْ الْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul, then tell them. And each of the other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they ask you, O Muhammad, about this question, then you tell them this. Yet here it's when they ask you about this question, then Allah speaks to us directly. Why the differentiation in this particular verse? And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that when it comes to everything, our knowledge about this religion, we need to go through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he tells the Prophet to tell us, tell them, pull, tell them this, tell them that. We have questions. We want to understand how to worship Allah. We want to understand all these different things about our religion. How do we understand it? Through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah. So Allah tells the Prophet, tell them this. But when it came to this particular question, which is a question of what? Of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a question of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants to tell us that we are directly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That for us to turn to Allah in ibadah, we don't need to go through any other intermediary, any other person. We raise our hands and ask Allah, and that's a direct connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this became the only verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of telling the Prophet to tell us, he transitions to talk to us directly, to emphasize to us how close he subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is to each and every one of us. And he says, "Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an." I respond to the call of the one who calls upon me when he calls upon me. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, realized what was the question of the man. The question of the man was, is Allah close to us or is he far from us? Is he close to us or is he far from us? And Allah begins the answer by saying, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close to them. Then all of a sudden Allah begins to talk about what? Dua. Ujibu da'wata da'i. I respond to the dua of the one who calls upon me. And Allah here is drawing the link again between his closeness and between our dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us and telling us that our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dependent significantly on how much dua we make to Allah. Our closeness to Allah, our connection to Allah is intimately connected with how much dua you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is transitioning immediately from telling you, I am close to you, to telling you, talking about your dua. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I respond to the call of the one who makes dua when he makes dua. I.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leaving almost the ball in our court to tell us, I respond to your dua. When does he respond to it? When you decide to make dua. When you have taken the responsibility, when you have taken the initiative to call upon Allah, Allah is saying, I will be there immediately to respond to your dua. He leaves it up to you. This is how close he subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. That he is telling you, I'm immediately going to respond to you when you decide to call upon me, when you decide to turn to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ujibu da'wata da'i. I respond to the call of whom? The one who calls. He doesn't say, I respond to the call of the one who is muttaqi, the one who is devout, the one who has taqwa. He doesn't say, I respond to the call of the one who is more religious. He doesn't say, I respond to the call of the one who memorizes the Qur'an. No, he says, I respond to the call of the one who calls upon me. He has left it open. The one who is sinful, the one who is religious, the one who is devout, the one who isn't, the one who calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is there to respond to your dua. And he left it up to you. مَتَى وَجَدَنِي مَتَى طَلَبَنِي وَجَدَنِي إِن طَلَبَنِي بِالنَّهَارِ وَجَدَنِي وَإِن طَلَبَنِي بِالْلَيْلِ وَجَدَنِي. That he says, whenever he calls upon me, he shall find me. If he calls upon me in the morning, he shall find me. If he calls upon me in the evening, he will find me. It's up to you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you want to find Allah, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, call upon me, I will respond to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, call upon me and I will respond to you. Indeed, those who are arrogant of my worship, they will enter hellfire with humiliation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he's telling you, call upon me, and then he's telling you, those who are arrogant of my worship. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, either you are of those who make dua to Allah, who turn to Allah, who ask Allah, who are begging Allah, either you are in that camp, in the beginning of the verse where he tells you, call upon me and I will respond to you, or you're in the second part of the verse. Indeed, those who are arrogant of my worship. The one who doesn't call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing an arrogance towards worshipping Allah, towards turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards turning all of themselves to Allah azza wa jal. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us in the hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِ كُلُّكُمْ ضَالِ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُ فَاسْتَهْدُونِ أَهْدِكُمْ كُلُّكُمْ جَاعٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطْعَمْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِ أَطْعِمْكُمْ كُلُّكُمْ عَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُ فَاسْتَكْسُونِ أَكْسِكُمْ كُلُّكُمْ تَخْطَؤُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of how much we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you don't call to Allah azza wa jal, it is a sign of arrogance. So remember your need to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, O children of Adam, all of you are misguided except the ones whom I have guided. So ask of my guidance and I will guide you. All of you are hungry except the ones whom I have fed. So ask of my provisions and I will feed you. All of you are naked except the ones whom I have clothed. So ask of my clothing and I will clothe you. And all of you sin in the morning and in the night, and I am the one who forgives all the sins. So ask of my forgiveness and I will forgive you. Subhanallah. This hadith is so powerful. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, when he would narrate this hadith, he would have to sit down. He would kneel down to the ground. Because he felt the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith. He felt his weakness. He felt his humility before Allah azza wa jal. I am nothing. I have no guidance. I have no food. I have no water. I have no clothing. I have nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would I not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Allah azza wa jal, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every waking hour of the day? And the point of this lecture is to tell you this very simple point. If you make dua to Allah azza wa jal, Allah will accept your dua. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهْنَمَ دَاخِرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse, He's telling you what? Make dua to me and I will respond to you. And then He says, those who are arrogant of my worship. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equated dua on one hand and worship on the other hand. And the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a is worship. It is the worship. It is the worship. What does it mean? Is there no other form of worship other than du'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, the scholars, they talk about this. Ibn Taymiyyah, when he talks about what is ibadah, what is the definition of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the definition of ibadah? He said, he mentions the linguistic understanding of this, "Ubidat al-ard." That the earth has become an abd is something the Arabs would say. What did they mean by that? If the earth becomes flattened, so that people can use it as a road, they can walk through it, they would say, عُبِدَتْ الْأَرْضِ. The earth has become flattened down. Ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means what? It means that you have humiliated yourself before Allah azza wa jal. You have shown your humility to Allah azza wa jal. You've thrown away all the arrogance, all the pride, and you've turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the fullest amount of your humility to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's submission to Allah and humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do this, then you've understood what worship is. Now, some people can fast and they don't really incorporate in their psyche the understanding of ibadah. They have pride while they're fasting. Some people can go for hajj and have pride while they're doing hajj. But it is very difficult for somebody to raise their hands, lower their head, say, "Oh Allah, I am in need of you. Oh Allah, I have nothing without you." Without that person feeling in their heart that humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, dua is the worship. It encompasses the concept of worship in it the most. You can't help but feel small in front of Allah and the grandness of Allah, the smallness of yourself. When you open your hands, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with open palms and you say, "Oh Allah, I need you and I need your help and I need your support and I have nothing without you." This is why dua is the worship. And for this reason, as Muslims, we don't only make dua when we need something. We make dua even when things in our lives are going well. Because dua is a connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he would make dua in times of need, in times of difficulty, in times of hardship. He made dua during the boycott, he made dua during al-Ahzab when they came to attack the Muslims. But he made dua in times of ease as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his dua, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa min tahwili 'afiyatik wa faj'ati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this dua, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the removal of your blessings and from the change of your protection. You are protecting me that you change this protection." and that from your sudden anger, and from every displeasure of yours. So this is a dua of the Prophet ﷺ saying, "Oh Allah, I'm in a place of luxury and goodness. Oh Allah, don't remove that from me. Don't take this away from me." And this is incredibly important for us, that we have this connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, most people, they don't turn to Allah unless things are going difficult in their lives. If they wake up and they have warm water in the shower, and their car is running, and their family is pleasant, and their wife is happy with them, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the time as well, you still need to remain connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, think about a king. You know, لله المثل الأعلى, to Allah belongs the highest example. But sometimes, you know, these kings or these powerful people, they have people coming, you know, praising them, supporting them, helping them with whatever they need. And as soon as that rich person or that king writes them a check, you know, "I'm happy with you, here, take some money," or "take this," or "take that." Once that person gets what they want, they disappear. And then the king is like, "Why did I give them anything? I should have not given them anything and kept them close to me." And think about what type of relationship you want with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the only time you turn to Allah is during tragedy and hardship and difficulty, that's the only time you turn to Allah, then if Allah loves you, what is He going to give you? Tragedy and hardship and difficulty. If Allah loves you and wants you to keep making dua to Him, then He's going to keep giving you tragedy so that you keep turning back to Him. What type of relationship are you setting up between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why can't you have a relationship where when things are good, you're still worshipping Allah, and you're worshipping Him a lot as well? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "This servant of mine, I love him, I want him to enter Jannah. I will keep giving him blessings and ease as well." What type of relationship or setup do you want with Allah Azza wa Jal? And this is the important point, that our dua is a worship we need to be constantly connected to with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point that I want to mention today is for us not to be hasty in our dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yustajab min ahadikum ma lam ya'jal." The dua of any of you will be accepted so long as you are not hasty. The companion said to the Prophet ﷺ, "وَكَيْفَ يَعْجَلْ?" How is a person hasty in their dua? The Prophet ﷺ, what does it mean to be hasty? Like you say, "Oh Allah, give me, give me, give me." Like, what does it mean? The Prophet ﷺ said, "يَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ دَعَوْتُ وَدَعَوْتُ وَدَعَوْتُ وَلَمْ أَرَى الْإِجَابَةَ فَيَتْرُكَ الدُّعَاءَ." He said, the man will say, "I made dua, and I made dua, and I made dua, and I haven't seen the answer to my dua." فَيَتْرُكَ الدُّعَاءَ. So he abandons making dua at all. And this is something people do. Like, for instance, someone's child might be sick. So you make dua a few times, a few times, a few times. You don't see a change. Then the person just gives up. They stop making dua entirely. You know, they don't see a change, so they give it up entirely. The reality is, we may not see the change immediately. In our apparent dunya, we may not see the change immediately. But Allah responds to our dua immediately. When we make the dua, Allah responds immediately. We may not see the response in our eyes, right in front of our eyes, right away. We may not feel it in this dunya right away, but the answer has happened. And you need to remain. The Prophet says, remain, keep making that dua. Don't give it up. Because if you give it up, that's when Allah won't respond to you anymore. Keep making that dua no matter what. Now a person might say, why is the apparent response delayed? We know the response is happening. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبِّكُمْ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, call upon me, I respond to you. Right? And the scholars, they mention this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds right away. Human beings are the ones who delay, the ones who dislike when you ask them something. Like the scholars even mention when the children of Ya'qub came to Prophet Ya'qub, they said, "Ya Abana, istaghfir lana inna kunna khati'in." They came to their father and said, "Oh, our father, seek our forgiveness, we are sinful." قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ. He said, "I will in the future seek your forgiveness." Sawfa means in the future. Now some of the scholars say Ya'qub wanted to make dua at the end of the night, where the dua is more accepted. This is mentioned in the books of tafsir. But other scholars, they mentioned, they said, every human being, even the father who loves his children, he'll delay his response to their request. And only Allah is the one who, when you ask Him, He does not delay the request that you ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to our dua immediately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belong the most beautiful names. Why is it beneficial for us to know that the beautiful names belong to Allah? فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So call Him by them. Turn to Allah, ask Him by His names. What is the benefit of you knowing that Allah is al-Ghafoor, is the most forgiving? Say, "Ya Ghafoor, ighfirli." O you who is forgiving, forgive me. What is the benefit of knowing that Allah is al-Razzaq? He's the one who provides. "Ya Razzaq, rizuqni." O one who provides, provide for me. Allah tells us His name, tells us about Himself. Why? So that we can connect with Him and call upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Allah says to the Prophet, tell them, who's them? The kuffar of Quraysh. Tell them what? مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. My Lord doesn't care about you. لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Except that you make dua. The people who are fighting the Prophet, Allah is saying, Allah doesn't care about you, except that because you make dua, Allah still responds to some of their dua. Even the non-Muslim who's attacking the Prophet, Allah might respond to some of their dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of generosity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the immediate nature of his dua. Allah azza wa jal mentions Prophet Nuh, فَدَعَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرُ. That he makes dua to Allah, he says, oh Allah, I'm overcome, so support me. And Allah causes the change of the creation, the rain to fall, and the earth to give up its water to save Nuh alayhi salam and to support him. And this is the power of dua. But why is it that sometimes we make dua and we don't see the apparent response immediately? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَخِّرُ الْإِجَابَ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ لِمَا يَسْمَعُ مِنْ خَيْرِ تَوَاضُعِ. Sometimes Allah will delay the apparent response from His servant so that he may hear the best of his tawadu, that he may hear the best of his humility. We said dua, worship, all of it is about humility. The person might make dua to Allah, oh Allah give me this, oh Allah give me this, oh Allah give me this. He doesn't see the response. Allah is pushing you to reach greater depth of spirituality, greater depth of humility, greater depth of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That because of this need that you have, that is making you desperate, that you keep calling upon Allah, and you feel more desperation, and you call upon Allah more and more, you reach a better level of iman. You reach a better level of humility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that humility might be the reason you enter Jannah. So the reason Allah might delay the response in your life might be because He wants you to enter Jannah. And the way for you to enter Jannah is for you to become more desperate and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more desperation. And we see this even in Musa alayhi salam, when Fir'aun is attacking him. And Musa alayhi salam makes dua against Fir'aun. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلْأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَن سَبِيلِكَ رَبَّنَا اِطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. That he makes this dua against Fir'aun. Oh Allah, destroy their wealth. Oh Allah, obliterate what they have done, make their hearts hard. Oh Allah, destroy them. He makes dua against Fir'aun, who is killing their children, who is saying that he is Allah. And not only is Musa, the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger of Allah, making dua, someone is with him saying Ameen, another prophet, Harun alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِبْتُ دَعْوَتَكُمَا. I have accepted both of your dua. Musa and Harun, two prophets praying to Allah against the worst person. Like the Prophet said about Abu Jahl, he is the Fir'aun of our ummah. So the Prophet is comparing Abu Jahl to Fir'aun, meaning Fir'aun is worse. Fir'aun is the worst person. And two prophets of Allah, messengers of Allah, are making dua against him. Why is this important? Because immediately after they make dua, Allah says, I have accepted your dua. But Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir, وَلَمْ يَنزِلِ الْعَذَابَ عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ 40 سَنَةً. That the punishment that Musa asked for, that Allah said, I have accepted your dua, did not come down on Fir'aun except 40 years later. Musa made dua, Allah said, I accepted your dua, he didn't see anything for 40 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his wisdoms. And Musa didn't give up making dua, he didn't give up, he didn't turn away from Allah, he didn't say, Allah's not listening to me. He understood Allah has his wisdoms. Allah has his reasons. And he made dua, and he knows that as soon as he makes dua, Allah is accepting it. But he may not see the response immediately in their lives. And this shows the humility that we have when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. You know, I just wanted to end maybe with one other point. I had a couple of points, but maybe we don't have enough time to go through it. But there's adab in the dua that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the adab that we need to have in our dua is to have certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can respond to our dua. Allah mentions the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. That Allah says, remember the mercy of your Lord upon his servant Zechariah, when he called upon his Lord quietly. Why did he call upon his Lord quietly? Some of the scholars, they say Zechariah was afraid of someone hearing his dua. Because if they heard him making dua, saying, "Oh Allah, give me a child," they would say, "You're an insane, crazy person. You're old, your wife is old, there's no way you're going to have a child." He was afraid of people making fun of him, so he made his dua very softly, very quietly. And when he makes the dua, he knows himself the science doesn't work. He says, "Qala Rabbi inni wahana al'adhmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba." He says, "Oh Allah, I know I'm old and I'm very weak and I'm feeble and my wife is old and she's barren and I know this." But he says, "Walam akum bi du'a'ika rabbi shaqiyya." He says, "But I have never been unblessed. I have never been saddened. I have never lost because I made dua to you. Anytime I make dua to you, I find blessings." "Walam akum bi du'a'ika rabbi shaqiyya." So he makes the dua. And he makes the dua with certainty. Allah will answer him. Allah will bless him. Allah will give him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him what no one could expect. And sometimes when we make dua for people, we think, you know, we're making dua with our tongues, not with our hearts. You see a brother who's sick, a brother who's in a wheelchair, he's like, "Yeah, Allah yashfiq," but you don't think in 100 million years that anything's going to happen. We see our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in India, and all these countries, and the terrible things that are happening to them, and we make dua with our tongues, not with our hearts. We don't think Allah's actually going to do anything for them. That's a problem with us. We don't have certainty in our dua. We need to remember them in our dua, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in an instant, if He wanted to, could change our situation. Have that certainty. And to make dua constantly, knowing that even if I don't see the dua, the answer of the dua this second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure is going to give me blessing from the dua that I'm making. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيَّ. I have never been unblessed in making dua to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala.